You see people bring up toxic masculinity. A lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we talk to young men about how you can grow and mature in your faith. We are trying desperately to encourage young men in Generation Z to understand what it means to be a man, to understand what it means to be a godly man, and what it means in today's episode, what it means to bear fruit. I mean, the only way, young man, that you can bear fruit is by abiding in Christ. And I think a lot of young men today are looking for direction, and they're looking for something to be satisfied in, and they're looking for something to be happy about. And so I want to encourage you, young man, as we kicked off last week in our show about what it means when Jesus is the true vine. That's right. In order for you to bear true fruit, you got to be tapped into the true vine. And so we've been examining how, before we can really fully understand the seriousness of what it means that Jesus said, I am the true vine, we took a step back last week and looked at what does it mean for Israel to be the original vine. And we saw a lot of passages from the Old Testament that talked about how Israel, while they were the original vine, they didn't cut it, right? They didn't make it. They bore wild grapes. And so God disciplined them. He judged them. He even put them into exile. And so when Jesus comes on the scene, and in John 15, 1, Jesus is saying basically he did what Israel could never do. Jesus is the true son. Jesus is the true servant. And Jesus, in John 15, 1, is the true vine. And so we ended last week just talking about Jesus is not an allegory, right? Jesus is not just a sign. He's the real thing. He's our Savior. He is Emmanuel. He is Almighty God. He's transcendent. He's the prophet, the priest, and the king. He's the true God. That's what 1 John 5:20 says. And in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, it says, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, speaking of Jesus, the true one, who has the key of David and who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens. So again, we're just saying Jesus is the true vine. Again, Revelation 19:11 says this, the second coming of Jesus. It says, then I saw heaven opened and behold a white horse, and the one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. Again, I'm just saying from all of this, we see that Jesus is true. He is genuine. He is authentic. He is the true vine, back now in John 15. He is the true vine, and we are the branches. So this ought to make us want to come to him today, young man. This ought to want us to let Jesus be your counselor. Let Jesus be your shepherd. Let Jesus be your teacher. Let Jesus be the great physician of your soul. Let Jesus be your advocate. Let him be your all in all. And I'm not just talking about being associated with Jesus. We're talking about abiding in Jesus. The only way to bear real fruit is being tapped into the real vine. The real vine, the true vine, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, John 15, 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. So we got to examine that. What are we talking about? The Father being the vine dresser. Well, a vine dresser is one who tills the soil. Thus, he is a farmer. I mean, the vine dresser is the vine grower. The vine dresser is responsible for planting and fertilizing and watering the vine. The vine dresser also prunes, trains, and cultivates the vine. The vine dresser protects the vine from wild animals and from thorns, everything he can to ensure the success and the prosperity of the vine. Therefore, it's only right that the vine dresser is also the one who harvests the fruit and appropriates the dividends however he chooses. And Jesus says here in John 15, 1, that I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. His Father, Yahweh, Father God, is the vine dresser. In fact, if you'll listen to another parable, just briefly from Matthew 21, 33, we hear how it is that Jesus tells us a little bit about the parable of the vineyard and the tenants. You remember that parable? It's important because it helps us to see that the Father is the vine dresser. Matthew 21, starting in verse 33, Jesus says, "Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to the tenants and went away into another country." All right, let me just pause right there. What is this already sounding like? Last week, we read Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, that pretty much talked about the same type of parable, the same type of illustration, and that was talking about how God prepared and dug Israel and made that the original vine, but it never made it to fruition to really bear the right fruit. And so now we're hearing a similar parable, the way Jesus is teaching it here. This time he says that the vine dresser built the vineyard and dug the wine press and built that tower. And now he leases it to the tenants and he went away into a far country. And when the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance." And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? So Jesus is asking his listeners, what do you think is going to happen? And they said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." So, good answer, right? Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits." So again, in this parable, God is the master of the house who planted the vineyard. He then put a fence around it for protection and built a wine press, anticipating the production of wine from the fruit of the vine. And the emphasis of this parable is to show that the son of the master was to inherit the vineyard, but the wicked tenants killed him instead. I mean, Jesus is that son. Jesus was crucified. Jesus was the stone that the builders rejected, and yet he has become the cornerstone of our faith. I mean, the point I'm trying to make in us looking at this parable of the vineyard is to see that God is the owner, and it is inferred that he is therefore the master vine dresser. And so we also see that the kingdom of God is given to a people producing its fruits. The kingdom of God, meaning those who truly belong to him, those who are abiding in him, those who are really his, those who are the people that are bearing fruit. That's the kingdom of God. And I believe that this parable is saying that the tenants who were overseeing the vineyard were not bearing fruit. They were so interested in advancing their own name and their own cause that they were not abiding in the fruit-producing purpose of the vineyard. And not only this, but they were also the very ones who were killing the master's servants and the ones who killed his son. So no wonder Jesus says in John 15 that every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away and throws it into the fire. So that's what we're looking at here, is we're looking at this teaching of Jesus, one of the I am statements, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And what we're starting to look at now is we look at a third aspect here. So Jesus is the vine, the Father is the vine dresser, and then let's look at the branches. And basically, the branches are individuals of the church, and you have kind of like two types of branches, right? You have the kind of branches that bear fruit, and you have the kind of branches that don't bear fruit. So he starts off with saying, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So let's talk about that for a minute. What does it mean that these branches that do not bear fruit get taken away? Jesus is the vine. God's the vine dresser and we're the branches. And we're trying to examine what kind of branch are we? I mean, not every branch in the vine bears fruit. This simply means there are some extra branches with an external attachment to the vine, though there's an association, but they don't have any real connection, meaning there's no internal flow of the saving and sanctifying grace of God. There is no life flowing from the true vine, Jesus, to the branch, and that's why it's not bearing any real fruit. And there are multitudes. So we could take from this, right? Listen up, young man. There are multitudes of professing Christians today in the church whose union with Christ is only outward, but there is no inward transformation. And some of them think that they're joined to Christ through church attendance. And some think that they're joined to Christ through baptism. And they think that they're joined to Christ by taking communion. And they think that they are joined to Christ because they are conservative and they are hard workers and they are against abortion. And they may even post Christian things on Facebook or Instagram or may be strong defenders of religious freedom. And they may even be loud talkers at church, but they lack the one thing that can save their souls from hell. Now, don't go away, because when you come right back, we're going to continue to examine what it means to be a branch. Are you a branch bearing fruit, or are you a branch that needs to be cut off?
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Tyson in just a moment as he continues to talk about bearing true spiritual fruit. And that reminds me of Dr. John MacArthur's The Gospel According to Jesus. It speaks directly to this same exact issue that Dr. Tyson's talking about. You can pick it up in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. This book will challenge you to reevaluate your commitment to Christ by examining the fruit in your life. It's going to tackle the exact questions that Dr. Tyson's been discussing today. Can someone truly believe without repenting? Is mere association with Christ enough for salvation? Pick up The Gospel According to Jesus again in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And speaking of genuine faith development, the Master's University, TMU, just ranked number 6 nationwide for career preparation, according to the Wall Street Journal. Why do you think that is? Why do you think a secular institution ranked a very solidly biblical institution as number 6 in the entire country on their list of colleges that prepare young men for a career? It's because the Master's University is committed to developing not just academic excellence, but genuine spiritual fruit in the lives of their students. And with academic scholarships up over $20,000 per year, there's no better place for young believers to grow deep roots in Christ than the Master's University. You can find out more right now at masters.edu/manhood. And when it comes to spiritual growth on a daily basis, I've got to remind you to download the Fortis Plus app if you haven't done that yet, or visit fortisplus.org, because it's your daily source of spiritual nourishment. We post 7 new pieces of content every single day from our Fortis fellows on theology and discipleship and marriage and so much more. The best part, it's absolutely free. Just download Fortis Plus from your app store. And you know, here at Fortis Institute, we exist absolutely to produce content, but it's not just about producing content. It's about producing content that helps you examine whether you're truly connected to Christ and bearing fruit, content that helps you grow spiritually and stand firm in your faith. We cannot do it without gospel partners just like you. And so I want to ask you if you would pray about joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. If you're already faithfully giving to your local church, you're not strapped by any kind of unmanaged debt, find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org. And now let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson. This is Way of Manhood.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood. And we've been talking about what it means to be tapped into the true vine. As Christians, young men, if you're truly saved and born again, then you're part of this true vine. You're a branch that bears fruit. And yet we've been studying how while Jesus is the true vine, there is a vine dresser. And the vine dresser is Father God. He is the first person of the Trinity, and he's the one who prunes the vine. And he also cuts and removes branches that don't bear fruit. John 15:2 says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. In Mark 1:15, you must repent and believe in the gospel in order to truly be saved. And if you repent and you're in the gospel, then you ought to be bearing fruit, because really what we're talking about here is salvation is not about association. Salvation is about your transformation. Salvation is not about your works. It's about Christ's work on the cross. Salvation is not about putting on a pretty face. It's about the redeeming work of God's grace. Jesus is teaching this statement, one of these seven I am statements, that I am the true vine. And he's saying it to the Pharisees. Most of these Pharisees, as we know, were unbelieving Pharisees. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 13, he said, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. And these Pharisees would be rooted up. They would be removed. They would be cut off because they were blind to the true gospel. Again, Jesus says it this way in Matthew 13, verse 12, for to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. I mean, that verse is basically saying there are those who have real faith and they bear real fruit, and there are the have-nots, the ones who look like they might have real faith, but since they are not bearing fruit, whatever they do have, it's not real, so it will be taken away. Now, some people, as we're talking about this, get confused about how Jesus says here, every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit. So the question is obvious, what does it mean when Jesus says, in me? My answer to that would be, this is not the same thing that Paul says when he says that you're in Christ. I mean, here, the in me, again, Jesus is saying this is part of the metaphor of the vine. And it seems to mean every person who professes to be my disciple. So when Jesus says every branch in me, I think he's talking about externally. Every person who claims, every part of the visible church, they say they're Christians. They profess to be disciples. They consider themselves as a branch. But we're discovering that they're not a true branch. And this is also discussed in 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, when it says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us. This is just a reality, right? Listen to me, Gen Z. A lot of people who grew up in church are going to walk away from the Lord. You know that's true. And so Jesus is simply saying a lot of branches that were in me, at least they appeared to be in me on the surface, they're not really in me. So they're going to be cut off. Again, 1 John 2:19, they went out from us because they weren't part of us. If they were part of us, they would have continued with us. To make it plain, they weren't part of us. Again, the branch that bears no fruit is obviously dead. That branch is dead like Judas, like the son of perdition, like the one who committed suicide, like anybody like that. They need to be cut off. And so we could certainly continue here and ask the question, well, why are these branches not bearing fruit? And I think the answer would have to be these branches are not bearing fruit because they're not abiding. Again, they may appear to be in me, as Jesus said in John 15, 2, but then in the same passage here in verse 6, it says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And so it's saying that he's not in me because he's not abiding in me. Jesus is clear about those who will be associated with the church, but they are not of God. How will we know who is of God and who is not of God? Well, Jesus says, you will know them by their fruit. Again, verse 6 says, the branches would be gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. Why? Because they're not abiding, and so they're not fruit-bearing branches. And Jesus discusses this in the Sermon on the Mount, right? When he says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus says, beware of false prophets, those who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a diseased tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. So again, I'm just trying to build. A lot of passages here are talking about what happens to these bad branches. A bad tree is diseased and it will bear bad fruit. It will bear thorns and thistles. A false prophet and a false professor of someone who professes Christ may look good on the outside, but on the inside, they are rotten to the core. They are filled with pride and deception. And so you must look on them carefully and listen to them cautiously. And in the end, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Again, John 15, 6, Jesus says, if anyone does not abide in me, you can't bear fruit if you are not abiding. You must come to Christ. You must be fully crucified with Christ. And yet it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And if Christ lives in me, then you must continue in Christ in order to bear fruit. Otherwise, you have no good fruit, but only rotten, diseased, dead fruit. So if you're not continuing, that fruit's going to die, and those branches will be taken away. Those branches that are not bearing fruit, these are the branches that wither. They're gathered, and they are thrown into the fire. That's the end of John 15, verse 6, right? He says, those branches will be gathered. The branch that's not bearing fruit is going to be thrown away. It's withering, and they're going to be gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. So Jesus, again, is making it very clear in this verse what will happen to the branch that bore no fruit. That branch will be taken. It will be cut off. It will be thrown away. It will wither and die. It will be gathered with all the other dried out dead branches, and they will be thrown into the fire and they will be burned. This is very similar here as to what happens in the wheat and the tares parable. The good seed sowed into the field grew up to produce wheat, but during the night, that parable talks about how the enemy came and sowed tares or weeds into the field. And here's what Jesus says will happen to them in Matthew 13, verses 40 through 42. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is clearly a picture of hell. All the branches that do not bear fruit will be thrown into the fire. All the people who claim to be attached to Christ, but who don't really know Christ, and so they are not bearing the fruit of Christ, they will be gathered and they will be thrown into hell. And let me tell you today, hell is a real place where the worm will never die and the fire will never be quenched. Hell is a fiery furnace where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. I heard one person say recently, well, hell doesn't scare me. Well, it should. Right? Hell is a scary place. Hell is a hot place. Hell is a real place. And the only way someone could say, well, that doesn't scare me, would be the person who is spiritually blind. That would be a person who doesn't believe. That person has been deceived. That person, the Bible calls a fool. You are a fool if you say in your heart that there is no God and there is no hell. But if you are here today and you're listening to this show today and you don't know Christ, then I'm telling you today, there's good news for you. I mean, you got to hear the bad news before you can be blessed by the good news. And the bad news is, if you've just been attached to Christ on the outside, but you're not abiding in Christ on the inside, then there's no hope for you. But the good news is you can abide. And the way that you abide is by repenting of all known sin. That right here, right day, you confess to God that I am a sinner and I cannot save myself. And you ask God earnestly to forgive you. Tell God that you want to repent and that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you believe that Jesus is the true vine, that you believe that his Father is the vine dresser, and that you want to become a branch that bears real fruit. Now, in our next show, we're going to talk about those branches that bear fruit. So I can't wait for us to examine that together. Let me pray for you as we end our time. God, thank you for the opportunity to study your word. And I thank you for this reality that Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. And we've been reminded today that every branch that doesn't bear fruit is taken away, and that branch will be gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. May that truth, may that reality motivate us today to look to Christ, to cry out to him, to repent, and to invite Jesus Christ to radically save us and to transform us and then to help us bear much fruit. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.